So certainly the degradation of this world is a feature of the Lord's coming back. It is, as it has been foretold, that it will be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And these are days where evil was rampant, right? If you remember Noah, it was down to his family that was still seeking the Lord. And the days of Lot, he could not even find anyone outside of his family, his immediate relatives, that still wanted to follow the Lord. And so it will be like this when the Lord comes back. That evil will just be regular, rampant. And so judgment is only going to come when this evil has really become full. In the characteristic of Noah and Lot, in those days, what was evil was becoming normal, and what was good was considered abnormal. And that's what we have today on this earth. If you say that, and there are many cases, of course, that I could actually go on for way too long on it, but there are many cases today where what is normal before God is considered wrong by many people. And if you say these things, well, you're a bigot, you're an evil person. And on the other hand, when you stand up for the Lord and say, this is what the Word says, or when you have an evil thing, I mean, when something is truly evil, they say, this is actually good, and we should be doing these things. We should be promoting these things. We should take pride in them, right? And so it's true today that just like the days of Noah and Lot, the normalization of what is evil is becoming rampant. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Maybe, Manuel, can you read that? No. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20.
Put darkness for light and light for darkness. We put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
Yeah. So this is speaking to the condition, certainly, of the world today, where those who are doing evil say that it's a good thing. We should be free to do these things. It's okay. And those who are saying it's wrong are called evil. It's the opposite, right, as it shows in Isaiah. And this is truly how we know that that the world is really ripe for judgment. When everybody is clear, generally speaking, and everybody can say, that's wrong, right? It's not really ripe yet. But when everybody is confused and what is right and wrong is completely mixed up, then it is clear the Lord has to come and judge it. Even today among Christians, right, as it says in John, there will be many antichrists. Right? Even Christians today are, as a whole, very confused about what is right and wrong. As Moses was sharing about love, about truth. There are all these words that are really mixed up today, even among Christians. Love is no longer the love of God, the love that loves righteousness first. Love is tolerance, right? Being okay with anything or accepting everything. Truth, right? If you talk about truth, people say, well, what is your truth? What is that other person's truth? Everybody has their own truth. Right? So truly, this world has become very corrupt and very perverted. But even so, many today, even Christians, are very, let's say, blissfully unaware of what's happening. Because it's easy to just ignore things and just live your daily life. Back in that verse in Matthew chapter 24, we read, "For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came." So even today, as we know that the Lord desires to come back quickly, and as the evil starts to build up more and more, we somehow seem to be very easily satisfied with our daily life in this world. I ask you, Osi, what'd you do last week before you came to the conference? What'd you do? What's a great thing you did? you can answer too, Nathan. That's okay. I just want to know what someone did last week. Oh, hey, Osi doesn't know what he did last week.
Yeah. Taking guests around.
You're taking guests around, right? Where'd you guys go?
San Diego.
Oh, San Diego. Was it nice?
Half the day was cloudy, the other half was nice.
Yeah. Life is, generally okay, right? Last week before we came to the conference, we had to buy a car, so I bought a car, mm-hmm. right? We ate at a restaurant or two. Kids went to Taekwondo classes, mm-hmm. Lots of good stuff to do, right? I think about the last few years, and it's very strange to me, or ironic, or odd, right? We're so happy to be doing exactly what we did 3 years ago before COVID happened, right? We're so happy and so satisfied to say, I wasn't able to go eat at a restaurant before, I wasn't able to do this, but now finally I can go eat out. I can go to San Diego and relax and see some nice things, right? Our heart is very much easy to be lulled into sleep, thinking that everything is fine. Let's just keep on doing everything. Without considering and being aware that the judgment is coming, right? Yeah. And I'm not saying we shouldn't relax. I'm not saying we shouldn't go to San Diego. Right? That's not the point, right? But mainly to say, right, that it is easy for us to be, just like it says in Matthew, simply going on with our life, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, ignoring, not being aware that the Lord desires to come.
Right.
Being unaware that the world around us is getting darker, becoming more evil. But we need to be awake and aware today.
Amen.
So how then should we respond, right? If we read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 4, maybe Joya, can you read that nice and loud? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. And Rebecca, please have ready Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
Therefore, since Christ suffered for us,
louder.
Arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who has suffered with the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetimes in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in the wilderness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and above all, idolatries. In regard to these things, I think it is strange that you do not run with God in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
And be not conformed to this world. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, we should not be so comfortable, right, in this world today. But we should be those who are different, who are not just doing the same flood of dissipation as everyone else.
Yeah.
We don't want to be those who are just doing the will of the Gentiles, as it says, walking around in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. But we want to be those who are renewed in our mind, proving what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can say no. We don't have to participate. Right? There are many Christians today who say, well, we should just go with the flow. We should just go with the times. Just be progressive. People are doing this. It's really not that bad. Let's just do what the same and speak the same as everyone else is doing. But that is not the way of the Lord. It says we should not be conformed to this world. There is no modernization of the Bible needed. There's no progressive version of the Bible that is required. But today, we need to do what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Hmm. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Elizabeth, can you read this? Nice and loud.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them.
Yeah. Right. And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Yeah. We should not be so tempted, as everyone else calls darkness light, to also join in and say it's everything's fine. But we should have no fellowship with these unfruitful works of darkness. Expose them. Yeah. So it's very interesting. I think I've often said this, of all of the United States, California is a very special, progressive place. And of all of California, right, the Bay Area is even more special. And it's very interesting. There are many Christians, especially in the midst of all that, right, who, rather than exposing these things as being evil, it is easier just to go along and say, oh, it's really not that bad, you know. We should just tolerate these things. I know that's what they're saying in class, but, you know, don't worry about it. It's okay. You know, they're going to hear from it from somebody else anyway, so why bother blocking it? Why bother saying anything? Right. But the word is very clear, right? We should be those who see that is evil and expose it. Have no fellowship with it, and show to others, and preach to others, right? That this is not right, right? This is darkness, and we don't want to have any fellowship with these evil things. I think for myself personally, I used to, you know, think in this way, just kind of letting a few things slide here and there, and not worrying about it. But as my kids have gone through school and I'm starting to see certain things come up in the classrooms, I had to really wake up from the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me, oh, you better watch out. You should be aware of what is being spoken. You should be aware of what they are trying to teach, because it is really darkness. Yeah. And so we may be tempted, right, even as evil is around us, to just ignore it. But truly, we need to be those who realize it is there and overcome it. We should be more like Peter, or as it says in Peter regarding Lot. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Let's see who's young here. Oh, that's a young people. Sarah, why don't you read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7.
And delivered righteous, yeah, Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked.
Yeah. Yeah. If we are too comfortable with this world, and we are too comfortable with the filth that is in this world, it's really a problem. But we should have the semblance as Lot, who was in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah, realize how filthy the conduct was of the wicked, and had this oppression, right, feeling that this was wrong, this was not right. I was just talking to Naomi about Micah breaking a cookie, right? You know, when Emmanuel was a kid, right, and he had stuff on his hands, he would say, oh, dirty hands, dirty hands. He was very conscientious of the dirt on his hands. Micah, not so much. Right? Yeah. Two very different children. So, in the sense, right, that we also should not be so comfortable, right? We should be realizing the filth that is out there, and our spirit, the Lord in us, should be bothered by it. It shouldn't be so lukewarm to it, but it should be bothered by it, right? Not that we would go on in depression, right? Of course not, right? But we would say, Lord, we really need you to overcome this in us. Yeah. And especially for his house, that in his house, it has to be kept holy. So if we read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, maybe, Ronnie? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17.
For the time has come, yeah, for judgment to begin at the house of God.
Right.
And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Not only for our own sake should we be those who are desiring to be clean and overcome this world, but more so for his church. Right. We should not be those who bring in the world into his house. These days, especially as I mentioned in the Bay Area, this is a very popular thing. It's too hard to be, to say that things are holy, because if you desire the Lord's house to be holy, right, maybe you won't have that many that want to come. Right? It's not very popular. Or, we just don't want to offend anyone. We want to have a lot of people. So therefore, all are accepted. Anything is okay. Love is love, right? But today, right, if the Lord is judging, his judgment first begins at the house of God. And we want to be those who are in fear and trembling before the Lord, being very careful not to bring these things into his house. But we want to see Christ as this perfect bride, as it says in Ephesians, Amen. Without spot and wrinkle, right? Meaning nothing, no stain from the world, no dirt, no nothing from the world that is going to contaminate his church. Yeah. It's not a matter of what is popular or not popular, but it's a matter of what is holy before God. And so the Lord in his house needs to continue to show us what he desires and what is from him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Maybe, Moses, can you read that?
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Mm-hmm. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world.
Yeah.
You are verse
that's
4,
it.
Right?
That's it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's now already in the world. We have to test every spirit. Test the spirits whether they are of God. Yeah. I have to say today, there's more and more. We now live in the age of information, right? Whereas many years ago, it was not so easy to find so much blasphemy, lack of a better way to say it, right? Before, when I was younger, if I wanted to hear if something that was not biblical, I could just turn on the TV and watch some, preacher saying, if you give more money, you'll get more money, right? It was, so you had to go search for it on the TV, and maybe you could watch one person go say something, right? Unrighteous. I was not a Christian as a kid, but besides that point. Then, as humanity advanced, we started to have search engines, Google. So now if you don't know the answer to something, you could just Google it and say, what does the Bible say about this? And maybe you can find, and it'll point you to someone who's talking about it, right? Maybe this particular speaker or preacher that talked about that subject. I mean, as John was sharing now, we have ChatGPT, right? Other sources of things that are coming into this world more and more. Right? As a technologist, I was thinking about this. It's actually really interesting, because I think we need to see how these things are, so that we may know why they are especially evil. Right. So, quick demonstration. So, when you or I were, if you were to read something or listen to some sermon, you might say to yourself, I listened to that person talk, and that was really false, right? And so that gets a really low vote, right? Like, if this is the truth, right? This is the truth. And this is a vote. You might say, that was really false. And then maybe you go on YouTube and you watch one of Toby's videos, right? And you say, that's very good. That's good. Much closer to the truth, right? Right. And so all these new search engines, all these ChatGPT, all these things, right? What they're doing is essentially they're looking at the entire internet, everything that anybody ever spoke, reams and reams of speaking, preaching, whatever it is, right? And everybody's voting and saying, this is good, that's good, that's good, right? And eventually, what do you have, right?
Normal distribution.
What's that?
A normal distribution.
Normal distribution, yes. Thank you, statistics, right? A bell curve, right? Normal distribution. And so when you ask ChatGPT, what does the Bible say about this, right? He will tell you this, Right? ChatGPT will tell you the middle of that normal distribution, right? The mean, yeah. So when you decide one day and you decide, yeah, this new search engine is really convenient, I want to go ahead and use it, and you ask for a spiritual answer, you will get the average of what man thinks. Right? This is truly, truly evil, right? It's really taking away and relying on the wisdom of man, right? If we read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, Chan, can you read that for us?
Chapter 1, verse 5, yeah?
Verse 25.
25.
Yeah, this is, entire chapter is very good, but let's just read verse 25 for the sake of time.
Okay. For you see, falling, brethren, that you may be wise.
Sorry, no. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25.
Sorry.
No problem.
Because of the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the wickedness of God is stronger than God.
Mm-hmm. The foolishness of God is wiser than the men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Right. Yeah. Right. So while you're out here asking ChatGPT for this answer here, right? This is all the wisdom of man summated together. And God's answer is way out here, right? This is a discontinuous line. It's way out there, right? It's more holy than anything that man can produce, right? So we have to be careful, right? Not to rely on the wisdom of man, because it will never be good enough, right? And these new things, these new engines are actually very dangerous. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, also, if we could read that as well. Jasmine?
7:13.
Yes.
Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it.
Yeah, and as you can see from this particular diagram, this is a very broad road with which you have decided to take, right? So, this is the point, right? We, whether it's this particular ChatGPT or social media even, right? All these things are steering us more and more towards what is from humans, what is from the wisdom of man, right? And it will drive us to evil. It will drive us to, even if it sounds and has the appearance of being right, the spirit behind it, the spirits that are behind it, every one of those yes or no's, will average out to the worst possible outcome. And instead, we need to go to the Lord. Right? We need the Lord, we need the wisdom of God only.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our way out is really, if we want to overcome, it is in Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, I really appreciated all the word during this conference regarding how much the Lord's life in us needs to reign, how much we need to have the Lord's life. Mm-hmm. Philippians chapter 3, as we read earlier in the conference, but verses 1 to 11, if you want to read this later, but again it says, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Mm-hmm. And as we read, we spent some time on this in Vancouver last weekend. It was very good. As we spend so much time looking through Paul's resume, and as you stated, all the different qualifications, religious qualifications that he had, his conclusion is, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Right. Yeah. If we are to overcome this world that is ensnaring us and trying to throw all these hurdles at us, right? Our only path forward is not our experience, our intelligence, our religious experience, our ability, how often we've come to the meeting, how much we think about how many good options we can do for the Lord, but it is simply that we need to gain Christ. We need to count all these things lost that we may know what does the Lord want. Okay? We need the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Right, amen. Let's also read 1 John chapter 4, 4 to 6. Maybe James, you want to read it? Okay.
John 4:46.
Yeah.
You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Right.
They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them.
Right.
Yeah.
We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us.
Yeah.
By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of
God. Amen. Yeah. We can overcome because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Right? Yes, the devil is walking around roaring and prowling, seeking whom he may devour. But he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Right? Praise the Lord, right? We have the one in us that can overcome even Satan, right? Even Satan's attacks against us. There was a slogan back in the, when I first became a Christian in the late 90s, where people used to wear these wristbands, right? And it was used to say, do you remember this? It was used to say, what would Jesus do, right? Yeah. I think I brought this up before. But this, to me, as I look back, was one of the, it was really, frankly, something that is very incorrect, right? What would Jesus do, right? Because as we face our situations today, as we face the problems that we have to overcome, our thinking shouldn't be, what would Jesus do in this situation? Right? What would he do if he were here? Right? That's the implication of that statement. It's asking, what would Jesus do in this situation if he were here? Right? But instead, we should say, we can overcome because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. He is willing to hear us. We are of God, as it says here. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God hears us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Because we can hear God and we can speak to God, and he is in us, we have the best way to overcome and resist every attack from Satan today. We don't need to use our mind to try to overcome and think historically. If you look in certain passages and think about what should happen. But in that moment, when we are caught and we are in trouble, we can ask the Lord, what should we do now? What do you want us to do, Lord? Right? It's very practical. Yeah. We shouldn't be those who struggle and strife over trying to seek out other answers, but we need to go to the Lord, right? Because he is in us. Yeah. If you look through, he really was the one who overcame all things. In Matthew chapter 4, we don't have to turn to this right now, but as he went through all the different temptations, right, as he went through all the different temptations in the wilderness and was tempted again and again by the devil, every single time he was tempted, the Lord answered him very clearly with the word of God and in a very crisp way, right, directly answering the problem. Right? You and I need such an overcoming life in us as well. We are often those who, in a human way, struggle and ask the Lord and think, well, maybe if I did this for God, maybe if I did it this way for, you know, this other way for God. And we're prone to uncertainty, right? But the Lord has the right answer every single time. And we go to him, he is able to overcome our situations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah.